and what they mean to their church, whether it's here or elsewhere. And Lord, thank you most of all what these people mean to you. Father, we just are in love with you and we adore you. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son Jesus to be our Savior and our sacrificial lamb, so that we can stand here today, Lord, on this day that we remember on the very first Easter, what happened some 2,000 years ago, that he arose. And so, Lord, thank you that we can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we thank you again. Bless our time in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your life, the salvation of your souls."
Good morning. What a glorious day, amen? On this day so long ago, two women went to the tomb expecting to find a dead body. But what they found was an empty tomb. And Jesus is alive, amen?
Amen.
He is risen. And we celebrate that today, that he is not a dead God, but he is an alive God. And he has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. And we're going to sing about what he did for us on the cross with hymn number 210. "Jesus paid it all. To him I owed a debt of sin, and Jesus paid my debt." Hymn number 210. We'll sing just the first and the last. Let's stand together as we sing. Turn over now to hymn number 216. Hymn number 216. "Christ arose a victor from the dark domain." We'll sing just the first and the last.
Rose, and the mighty
Amen. You may be seated.
Father, as we humbly bow here this morning, we thank you and praise you, Father. We know you paid the price that we might have this day, that we might celebrate your resurrection, Father, and forgiveness of our sins. And Father, as we go forth from here today, help us not only today, Father, to thank you and praise you for your love for us, that we show our love for you as we go forth with one another, each one that we might meet in the days and the weeks to come, Father. Help us to be an uplifter and encourager in your name. And Father, guide and direct us that we'll do what we need to do to help to fulfill your will in our lives daily, in the life of your church here at Highland Avenue. Again, Father, we just thank you that you give us the opportunity to be able to celebrate today, realizing many people around the world, Father, would love to celebrate this day, but they know they'd pay the price, Father, for acknowledging that you're the one that paid the price for them. And Father, forgive us where we fail you and guide and direct us in our days to come. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes it causes me to up from the grave. Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the grave?
Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you for coming again today. I'm going to sort of give you multiple passages, so just a few, just to highlight a few today. So I'm not necessarily going to ask you to turn there, but I'm going to hit on a few as we go through. Let me just sort of start by saying that the resurrection really emphatically shows us that God is gracious. Amen. It shows us that He loves us, that He's all about grace, doesn't it? That He would step out of the portals of heaven and come down here. He was rich, He became poor, so that you and I could have salvation. Amazing. Tremendous. So thank you for coming here this morning. I read recently about a preacher who died and went to heaven. And he noticed that a New York taxi cab driver had a higher status than this preacher, than he did in heaven. And he went to St. Peter and he said, "I don't understand. How come this is this way. I devoted my whole life to my congregation. And Peter said, our policy is to reward results. That's why the taxi cab driver has a higher status than you do. And well, Peter explained, he said, what happened was, whenever you gave a sermon, some of your congregation fell asleep. And he said, but when the taxi cab driver drove, every one of them stayed awake, and some of them even prayed. A little boy named Philip with Down syndrome was in the third grade. And he was in there with several other 8-year-olds there in his little Sunday school class. And real typical of that age, the children didn't readily accept Philip. They didn't really, you know, they weren't used to that. And so they didn't accept him readily right off the bat because they were just a little unsure. Because he was different. But because of a very creative Sunday school teacher, they began to care more and more about little Philip, the little boy with Down syndrome. And they began to accept him, but not fully. But the Sunday before Easter, or at around Easter time, the teacher brought some of those legs pantyhose eggs. Y'all remember those, ladies? Those eggs that you get pantyhose out of? I hope you men don't remember it anyway. And so, the teacher brought a whole bunch of those, and she said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go outside, and I want you to find something to put in this little egg, and something that represents life. And you know, for an 8-year-old trying to get them to, it just can be real creative and real interesting. So sure enough, one by one, they all found something. They came back in, and the teacher was going to just have them each kind of show and tell, display what they found. And one, you know, found a little butterfly. The other one found a little flower, and so on. Each one of them found something in their classroom to show. And everybody was going ooh and ah and all of that. And then little Philip, little boy with Down syndrome, opened up his little egg, and there was nothing in there. And the kids, one of the little kids that was more like Peter a little bit, said, that's stupid. We asked you to, I mean, we were told to find something to put inside the egg. What you didn't follow instructions. And little Philip, in his own little unique way, said, I did follow instructions. My egg is empty because the tomb is empty. And the entire class went silent. Little boy with Down syndrome seemed to have it figured out more than the rest of us, the rest of the little class. And they began that day to really accept little Philip. And the true story is that little Philip died not long after that because of an infection that normal children would have shrugged off. And at his funeral, the class of 8-year-olds marched up to the altar with their little pantyhose eggs with nothing in them and put them on the casket. Like many today, some critics believe we're crazy for showing up and worshiping a man named Jesus. They think you and I have to be bonkers. And like today, many even will argue that the resurrection of Jesus never took place. The bodily resurrection. Just like some of them argued in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in our day. But I want you to know that there's so many accounts, even in the Old Testament, of the resurrection. In our brief time, I want to share with those a couple of those with you, and then I'll close with a little video. But the denial of this main doctrine, the resurrection of Jesus, was one of the main foundations of the Sadducees. Y'all heard of the Sadducees? They believed that the resurrection didn't occur, so they were pretty much denying some of these that happened in the Old Testament. Let me give you a few of those. Elijah raised the son of Zarephath's widow from the dead in 1 Kings 17. Elisha raised the son of a Shunammite woman from the dead in 2 Kings. A man was raised from the dead when his body touched Elisha's bones in 2 Kings. Many saints rose from the dead at the resurrection of Jesus, we're told in Matthew 27. And we know the Lord Jesus rose from the dead in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24. Jesus raised the son of the widow of Nain from the dead, Luke 7. Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead, Luke 8. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, John 11. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead, Acts 9. Eutychus was raised from the dead by Paul, Acts 20. Even with all of these accounts, some still argue that a bodily resurrection was unknown to the Israelites, unknown to the Jews. But we know it is true. And so long before Mary and Joseph ever encountered the Lord Jesus as they did, Job himself said of the resurrection one day, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." And then he says, the last part of verse 26, "And in my flesh I shall see God," Job says. Daniel uttered the same words essentially. He said in Daniel 12, he said, "Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Speaking of the resurrection, the Bible says that first the Creator, the Lord, became man. He came down here to become man. Then he came down here that he must die for the sins of the world. And then he must defeat death, which we know he did, by his own bodily resurrection. Then he ascended back to heaven according to John 20. And all those who trust in him, as you and I do, and turn our life over to him and repent and believe, will be raised from the dead one day when he comes back again. Dear saints, it is Resurrection Sunday, because he has defeated death, and he's promised us that because I live, you shall live also in John 14. I want to remind you as we watch this little video again of the grace of our Lord Jesus. And I want you to think, as you're watching this video, I want you to think of Peter after the resurrection, okay? And how he must have felt because he denied Jesus, and how he must have really took a long time probably to get over what he had done. But I want you to see how Jesus responded to him and said, "It's okay. I love you anyway." And it just shows the grace of our Lord Jesus. Okay, brother.
Grace is God's unmerited favor for us, His crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
"Jesus, is that you? You're alive! I can't believe you're alive!" "Okay, I was in the boat and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice, and the voice said, 'Cast your net to the other side.' And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman, I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there, and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net, and I'm going, 'This is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side.' And boom, I look up, and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore going, 'It is I, the Lord, and you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. This is awesome. Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on.
Peter,
yeah.
Do you love me?"
"Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great."
"Good, then feed my sheep."
"Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him."
"Peter."
"Yeah."
"Do you love me?"
"I love you, yes. And I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do not. I'm better for it, all right? Okay."
"Then feed my sheep."
"Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him."
"Peter."
"Yeah."
"Do you love me?"
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you.
Good. Good. Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you.
Peter,
yeah.
Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?
Yeah. We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up, and Mary's like saying, beehive, beehive, beehive. And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And we're going, who's alive, who's alive? And she said, she was at the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there. And the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And so me and John, we hightailed it down there. And if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there, and I'm looking in that tomb, and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.
Wait, yeah. The angel said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go.
This is. He said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for what I did.
No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter.
Let me just have a prayer with us, if I may. Father, we love you. Lord, thank you for just little things like the little clip that reminds us how gracious you are to us, Lord. How you let us wake up another day. How you give us family. Some may be gone, but you still gave them to us for a time. Lord, how you give us church family, Lord. Sometimes it's even closer than a brother or sister, because we know that they're real and they love us, Lord. How you do so much for us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus and the resurrection, Father, that we're going to be raised from the dead when we die, Lord, if you don't come back before then, because of your resurrection. We love you, Lord. Thank you for giving us your word. And all the many, many other things too. In Christ's holy and righteous and beautiful and lovely and masterful name, we pray, Lord. Amen. God bless you. We love you.